Hello and welcome, friends, to a special Derby Week edition of Sustainability Now here on your community radio station. This is Forward Radio, WFMP LP Louisville. We broadcast to you from high atop this historic Habern building at 106.5 FM. But hey, you can also find us online. Maybe you're getting out of town for Derby. That's not a bad idea. Go to forwardradio.org and you can take us with you. And you can also become a part of the station there. This is radio for the people, by the people. Yes, you could be some of the people involved in this station, supporting us financially. We'd love that. Or you can get involved as a volunteer, too. We always want your voices behind these microphones and your help behind the scenes. This is the last time I'll mention it, but I do want to shout out at this moment everybody who helped us reach our goal, you all, of raising $7,000 for our 7th anniversary in April. Thank you so much to all the donors who chipped in and helped us get there before our big party. We were a little dicey. Are we really going to make it? And then y'all came through with donations at the party and the silent auction. And thank you. Thank you so much. That's really helping sustain us and keep us going. Well, it is the season of spring. Derby's here. Must be time to plant our garden, right? So I'm so excited to have in the studio with me some good friends from the Urban Agriculture Coalition. Bethany Pratt is back. She's been a former guest on this show from UK Extension. Welcome back, Bethany.
Hi, so happy to be here.
Yeah, so happy to have you again in the studio. And a new friend, Susanna Diller-Yoke, is here, also from UK Extension and their nutrition education program. Welcome, Susanna.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So we're going to talk all about gardens and growing your own food here in the city today and how it relates to nutrition. And we're also going to talk about the 11th annual How To Festival that's coming up on Saturday, May 11th. Yes, the Saturday after Derby. It should already be in your brain. This is the 11th year now, right? This is my favorite event of the year, you all. And Forward Radio is excited to be participating again. We'll be there live broadcasting throughout the day. But just come on down to the main public library on Saturday the 11th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It is free, and it is your opportunity to learn 50 things in 5 hours, right?
Yes. No big deal.
So Urban Ag Coalition has long been a partner with the How To Festival. In fact, you all have a whole like section outdoors,
we
right?
We sure do. We have so much stuff going on that day. There are three full garden tents.
Three garden tents this year.
Yes. Of all kinds of community experts talking about everything from mushrooms to chickens to goats and bunnies.
There's animals. That's
there
right.
There are going to be animals.
This is a very family-friendly event, right?
It is. And Ginger the mini horse is going to be there.
Oh, nice.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I almost forgot about it. Ginger and her human are going to come and talk all about how to raise livestock in the city.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
Ginger.
What do you do with a miniature horse? Do you just admire it?
You know, I don't know. We're going to have to go and learn.
They're good lawnmowers.
You've managed
sustainable lawn.
Yes, that's right.
And fertilizing,
too. Yeah.
Therapy animals.
Yep, exactly.
All the good
Absolutely.
Stuff. So that's how this How To Fest always works. It's basically we're taking up the entire property of the library inside and out. There'll be workshops happening throughout the day from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're usually about like 45 minutes, right?
Yes.
And they're led by not, you know, dorks like me with PhDs, regular people who have great experience doing
Absolutely.
This kind of work, right? And that's what the Urban Ag Coalition is.
That is exactly what we are. We are a group of passionate community members who love to talk about gardening and farming together. And occasionally we solve problems if we're all coming up with the same problem.
Yeah, yeah. And you can learn more about the Urban Ag Coalition at foodinneighborhoods.org/grow. You want to talk about Food in Neighborhoods generally too?
Yeah. So Food in Neighborhoods is kind of the parent arm of Urban Ag Coalition.
Yeah.
So they are really focused on that broader aspect of local food access and equity.
Policy, right?
And how all of that impacts who and how gets to eat, where the grocery stores are located in this town. All those kinds of things.
And Food in Neighborhoods has been around for a long time. I remember when I first got here in 2009, it was already going gangbusters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of ebbed and flowed. Currently, Food in Neighborhoods is working on Food Vision 2030.
Right.
So think of that as like a comprehensive plan to make sure that all people in Louisville have access.
Yeah.
That is both equitable and affordable to fresh local foods. They're also putting together a food policy council.
Yeah.
So the deadline is still open. So if you are interested, go to foodandneighborhoods.org, click on the food policy council button and apply.
Yes. And this is all also resulting, well, continuing work after the People's Food Summit last September, right?
Yeah.
That we covered here on the station, too. So lots of good things happening with food in neighborhoods. And the Urban Ag Coalition is all about supporting each other in this effort of growing food in the city. But, you know, some of our listeners are probably already convinced, but maybe some of them have never tried growing food before. Why should people try it?
What do you think,
Susanna? There are lots of benefits to growing your own food, even on a small scale, like because people often feel like they have to have such a huge established garden to be able to grow their own food, right? But you can literally grow in a 5-gallon bucket and harvest from, you know, a decent amount just from that. And it's easy to start small, too.
Scalable.
Absolutely. Yes. So one is obviously improving your access to fresh and affordable food. You can grow it. You know exactly what's going into your food. You know that, you know, if you choose to grow organically, you know that there's not going to be a lot of pesticides and chemicals, you know, in there. There's therapeutic benefits.
Yep.
It's, you know, there's a whole lot. And the increasing, you know, it's just a better chance to, especially in maybe a food desert area where there isn't a lot of access to fresh, you know, nutrient-dense foods, you know, you can, it kind of can empower people to grow their own and take some control over that and improve their consumption of fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, 2 points about that. Even if you live right next to even a good grocery store, you're not going to find in that grocery store a bunch of things that you can grow at home, like heirloom varieties, certain types of vegetables.
Absolutely.
Certainly, if you are maybe not from here and you like different kinds of produce that you're not going to find in the local grocery store, right? And then second of all, maybe you live right next to a grocery store, but we all know food prices have been going through the roof.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. So growing your own can make it a bit more affordable, you know, and accessible that way too. You can get a pack of seeds, you know, it doesn't have to be anything super fancy. You know, a lot can come from a small amount.
Yeah.
Absolutely stretch those dollars.
And I love the goal of like growing those two or three like most expensive items that you love to eat that are feeling more and more out of reach right now.
That's a great point.
Exactly.
So like for me, I now grow raspberries and blackberries and strawberries because they're so expensive.
Yep. Yeah. I've started doing that as well.
Yeah. So it's just a great way to kind of think about how you can stretch your food dollars, but still get the things you really love.
Yep.
And hey, yo, there's a reason why food prices have been going through the roof, and it's not just inflation. It's corporate consolidation of the food system.
100%. Yeah.
So by growing your own food, by doing it in community, by getting connected to people in your local food system, this is how we take the power back and how we make food affordable and accessible for everybody. It's a basic human right. So I really honor the Urban Ag Coalition for your work in doing that.
Well, thank you.
It is such an important thing to help educate people. And for me, like, there's no way you're going to know anything about sustainability if you've never grown your own food. Like, how, this is the most basic thing that sustains us, right? Like, you can't just live off the regular corporate ag system and say you're sustainable or green. Like, you need to know, at least start, and knowledge is power, and just experiencing the thrill of turning tiny seeds into a delicious meal on your plate is so valuable and so important to do.
Absolutely.
So I encourage everybody to try something, growing something this year. Maybe you don't have to do it on your own, right? There are community gardens that you can grow with other people, right? UK Extension certainly helps with those. You want to talk a little bit about our community garden scene here?
Sure. So UK Extension supports 10 different community gardens across the city.
Wow.
But there are also community gardens run by churches, run by other nonprofits.
Right.
So there's probably a landscape of about 30 community gardens just all over the city. And they are really fun places if you're feeling a little concerned about your own yard, or maybe you don't have a yard at all, or a balcony even, you know, that tomato pot on the shared walkway might not be safe. The community gardens are a great place. Most of them either provide free or low cost plot rental. It's garden specific, so I can't speak for everybody.
Right.
But it's a great way to go in. Folks there are very committed to growing lots of fruits and vegetables, and you learn so much from mm-hmm. folks who are there.
Absolutely. And that's that, you know, like you said, you don't have to do it on your own. You can tap into your community, and it's really a very supportive environment too. And folks love sharing gardening yes. tips and, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, it's
where the sharing happens, right? Yep. You can share tools,
you can share produce,
seeds, mm-hmm. produce, yep. plants, mm-hmm. extra plant compost, like all these things that make successful growing possible. That's what I love to do, is grow in community. Is there a place people can go to find and get connected with where the local community gardens are? Is there a map or anything like that?
There's a fabulous map on foodandneighborhoods.org.
Nice.
Huge shout out to Abby Rudolph, yeah, Food and Neighborhoods member, who is the volunteer upkeeper of the map.
Right.
She's adding new stuff to that all the time, including grocery store access, international markets. Like,
nice.
It's very cool. So please go check it out and also find a community garden.
Yeah, absolutely. And UK Extension also has some basic publications to help get people started, maybe even experienced gardeners. Maybe if you're new to town, or maybe you're trying to adapt to our changing climate, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about what some of those resources are available online. And I know you print some too and give them away at certain things, but yeah, what do you have online?
Yeah, we have a lot of resources on our UK Nutrition Education Program's forward-facing website, which that's our public website. It's called planeatmove.com.
Planeatmove.com. Right. I love it.
Yes.
Okay.
So on that website, there are a couple cool things. One is a searchable recipe index by ingredient.
Wow.
So like if you're growing stuff and you're like, well, crap, what do I do with these 75,000 pounds of zucchini that I now
that's
own?
Right.
Like there are so many recipes and so many creative ways to use things. But mm-hmm. before you get to the excess, right, there's all kinds of great publications in our growing your own section. So mm-hmm. there's some general gardening overview stuff, like getting started in your garden.
Yeah.
Right? Very good name. You know what it's talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we have a series of publications in English and in Spanish.
Ooh,
yes.
Multilingual.
Sí, señor. and those are broken down by produce. So you can kind of hone in on like, man, I just really want to start small in my 5-gallon bucket this year with a tomato.
Okay.
Bam. There is a publication mm-hmm. just about tomatoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can kind of grow from there.
Yep. Yeah. There's even like a publication growing in small spaces,
yep.
you know, which is a very nice, you know, step-by-step tutorial. Lots of great tips
yeah.
and tricks.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got the how-to fest where bring a pencil and a notebook. You're going to learn a zillion things. But also there are workshops in gardening throughout the year and certainly throughout the season.
Yes.
I know the public library is even hosting a whole series.
They are. I know. Thanks to the Master Gardeners.
Yeah.
There's a whole mm-hmm. series of gardening classes happening at,
yeah.
I think, like 8 different branches across the city. It's really impressive. And if you're looking for some free seeds and plants, the How To Festival is going to be your spot.
Oh.
Rootbound Farm, our good friends in Oldham County, are donating thousands of seedlings to us to give away. So big thanks to Rootbound Farm for that seedling donation. So show up, pick up some seedlings.
Nice.
It's going to be a surprise what they are,
right.
but they will come with friendly people from the Ag Coalition to tell you what to do with them and what they are. So you can't lose. And then the Louisville Seed Bank's going to be there giving away seeds too. So, and they are an amazing resource.
Yeah,
that
what is a seed bank? What is that?
Yes. So the seed bank is a spot where you can go in, check out seeds.
Like the library.
Right, like the library.
But I'm not just going to admire them. You're going to plant them,
correct. And then at the end of the season, you're going to harvest a bunch of stuff to eat, but you're going to grow and let a few go to seed.
Yeah.
And bring some seeds back to the seed bank. And they're in Logan Street Market.
Yeah, and that's a project of Beargrass Thunder originally.
It sure is.
And they're very concerned about making sure that we have locally adapted seeds.
Yes, I love that.
Which when we grow our own seed, that's how we get the genetics we want here mm-hmm. locally, right? So that's a really exciting project. And it's at the Louisville Tool Library, which is another great mm-hmm. resource for people to get connected with maybe some of those tools you need to get started in gardening. Maybe you even need to do something like build a raised bed. Well, they might have the hammer and saw and drill and everything that you would
for
need
sure.
as well. So check out the Louisville Tool Library if you haven't been connected with them yet. These are fantastic resources. I want to remind everybody that you are listening to a Derby Week edition of Sustainability Now with me, Justin Mogg, and our guests from the Urban Ag Coalition and UK Extension, Bethany Pratt and Susanna Diller-Yoke are both here. Now, we all kind of laughed at the beginning when I said it's Derby Week. That means it must be time to plant our garden. Why is that funny? Because we're already eating out of our gardens, right? What does a real gardener know about when to grow in Louisville?
Multi-season planting. You don't have to wait. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some plants, you know, that can be a hard and fast rule, or maybe not a hard and fast, but a general rule. You want to wait until the soil temperature is warm enough in order to plant out things like tomatoes, peppers, things that are going to need.
Those really cold intolerant
They're cold intolerant, correct. Yeah. But there's so many. There's a wealth of veggies that you can plant that actually grow pretty quickly in the like late winter, early spring months. Also, if you are fortunate enough to have like a high tunnel or something or, stuff like that, you could even tap into winter planting, fall planting. But yeah, what are you growing right now? Or what have you been munching on?
Yeah. Oh, I've been eating so much out of my garden. So I've been harvesting asparagus for the past three weeks now. That's a fun one. That's a perennial, which is kind of the best when it comes to things. You plant it once and it just like shows up every year. And you're like, wow, this is great.
It's like, oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
But you can't eat all of the asparagus, right?
No. So I like to do the harvest for about a month and then I stop because it's got to go to seed so it can reseed itself.
Yeah.
So I've probably got about one more week of harvest and then... Also, with these warm temperatures, I've just missed a few, and they're already starting to get tall, and that's okay. But the cool thing about asparagus is that once it starts to go to seed, it gets like 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And it's got this cool little fern situation going on.
They're gorgeous.
Yes. You can see my hands doing the fern dance
I
here.
I see them. You can't see them on the radio, but.
You should grow some asparagus so you too can do the fern dance.
Dance with the fronds.
Yes. And then they're great like landscaping for the rest of the year because my asparagus are firmly planted in my front yard. So everyone gets to look at them all year and be jealous.
And then they make those beautiful red berries.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool.
But yeah, I've been munching on some. Like bok choy was the first time I planted this, and it grows pretty rapidly.
It likes the cold.
Spinach. What other greens? Some lettuces.
Yep, lettuce. I have Swiss chard.
Of course, radishes.
Good. Yeah,
love the cold.
Yeah,
I've even got some herbs going because we've also had. That's why that hard and fast rule of having to plant after Derby just doesn't always apply. We've had an unusually warm spring. I've got some stuff that's been trying to bolt. And I'm like, it's too early. It feels so early, but so it goes. So we adapt.
So here's the big thing I'm worried about, especially as an organic grower. I don't use any pesticides. We didn't really have a very harsh winter.
I know.
Are you guys worried about the bugs?
I sure am.
Yes.
I've already seen mating harlequin bugs.
No!
Is that scary or what?
I've had some aphids hanging out. What else have I seen? I think just that so far. Oh, harlequin
bugs. So what do we do? How do we deal with pests when we're trying to grow in the city organically?
Oh, man. I have invested in insect netting. That has been like these little tiny low tunnels, right? So they look like little wickets with like fine mesh netting over them. For me, I have rabbit problems as much, if not more, than insects. Yeah. So that you get the bonus of the rabbits can't get in there either.
Yeah.
And neither can the bugs. And that's been a super important investment, like a little pricey up front, like $30 a tunnel, but like
in the long run,
it's saving my harvest from insects, from pests. Like I don't even have the temptation now to try to buy even an organic pesticide because they're just covered up.
I actually placed an order with Idlewild Butterfly Farm. They were doing they did like a pre-order they have what under their a little tab on their website is good bugs.
Beneficials.
So it's like beneficials. So since I've already been seeing some aphids and I know I always have trouble with like squash vine borers and cucumber beetles. So I'm also going to be doing some beneficial nematodes. They had a little package of, like a little combo package of green lace wings for the, which they eat a lot, but they definitely will eat the aphids, which in mass quantities, they can do some damage, you know.
They're
but,
like the Pac-Man of the insects.
They are. They really are. Yeah. So I try to be careful what beneficial bugs I introduce because I don't want to, you know, hurt maybe some beneficial stuff that's
it's
living
balanced.
In there.
It's
yeah,
balanced,
do I got to keep it balanced. But also, whenever I know that I've got, you know, I'm looking forward to cucumber beetle season, I'm like, I got to do something about it.
Sure.
So I've got, I'm potting up my cucumbers now. So I'm like, I got to save my babies.
Yeah. I have noticed a lot of praying mantis egg sacs in my gardens.
Yeah.
So exciting.
So I always love watching those. Those are really interesting predators.
Oh, yeah. I love them. I generally have them all over my yard. I had accidentally brought in. Like, you know, a praying mantis nest or egg sac, I guess.
Yeah.
And overwintered it.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, I've got babies.
Exactly.
No.
Awesome.
There you go. It's warm enough. I guess so.
Better
That's
than
cool. Inside.
You're hatching all kinds of fun
guess,
things over
yeah.
there. You told me you didn't have any livestock. You got praying mantis livestock. That's great.
And we talked about some animals being at the How To Fest, and one animal that some people use to help control bugs are chickens. And,
yes.
And you keep chickens, right,
I
Bethany?
I do. I have six chickens, including one rooster.
Cock-a-doodle-doo!
That's right! Yeah, so you can have a rooster in the city.
Okay.
And
no matter what your neighbors
say. No matter what, how your neighbors feel about it, you can have one.
What about any chickens? Is there a limit?
So there is a limit. So you can have a total of six if you live on a half acre or less.
Okay.
Okay.
If I live
Good
on
to
a...
Know.
More than a half acre.
Unlimited chickens.
Unlimited chickens.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
I know. I just like need to buy the house next door and then I'm
ready
for like unlimited chickens. Don't think my neighbors are going to be very happy about that.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
But it's not just chickens. Like you mentioned some of the animals that are going to be there. I mean, there's people in the Urban Ag Coalition who raise all kinds of animals.
We do.
Right?
We have lots of livestock farmers. We have some folks who are doing sheep in the city, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
One farm has some mini horses.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. Goats.
Yeah.
And rabbits even.
Yeah.
So,
rabbits. Wow.
Yeah, some very cool animals.
Yeah. And so do you use your chickens for pest control at all? Or?
A little bit. They have been the best at eating Japanese beetle larvae.
Yes.
That's where I've really seen the benefits.
Yeah.
Because they're the
Get
chickens, right? They love grubs. They're digging up the soil all the time. They also, unfortunately, really like a lot of the fruits. So I have to be a little cautious about when they go in my garden because they will just
Strategic,
wipe me out.
It's all about timing.
It is all about timing. But they have 100% gotten rid of any of the beetles that have a larval stage in the ground.
Can I borrow them?
Yeah, really?
I know. Maybe I should start. Maybe I could get a second flock.
Do they go on
like,
field trips?
Do they get, just
take
field trips?
Side hustle.
Side hustle chickens. Here.
And can I put them on my bike trailer?
You can totally put them on the bike trailer. They're prepared.
That is awesome.
Give them some little helmets.
And animals help fertilize our gardens
absolutely.
As well, right? Do you collect the...
So I'd say the chicken compost is manure is probably the number one benefit that I see.
Wow.
Like I get eggs and that's great. And then they eat the larva, but like all of the manure, because they live in a coop right at night.
Yeah.
And then they free range and, you know, in a contained environment during the day eating insect larvae. But all of that manure goes into my compost pile and I have the best compost.
Wow.
Because of that.
Well, let's talk about compost. That I think is an underappreciated sort of base level important component of successful urban agriculture, especially if you're going to do it organically, which is what we're encouraging here on Sustainability Now. Even if you don't have animals, right, you can make your own fertility through composting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Talk more about how people do that, how they get into it.
Yeah. I mean, pretty straightforward. Starts with cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sure does.
Yeah.
That's right. So once you're done with all of those, you know, kitchen scraps, which could include, it can't be all kitchen scraps. You prefer to keep it. That would be considered our green part of our compost. But we're talking like fruit and veggie scraps, eggshells, coffee grounds, various things can go in. And then you're going to want to layer that So we've got our green layers and we've got our brown layers, mm-hmm. right? So brown can be considered more organic matter, such as leaves, you know, like if you've got a if you're raking up leaves, or you can even go around the city and see who's been putting out their leaves and
pick up other people's leaves. Yes,
I do that all the time. I'm glad I have I just got a Subaru, so I've got a hatchback now, and I'm like, load it up.
Yes.
I'm like, Blair, I saw some over here. Tell my husband.
Yeah,
he also keeps an eye out whenever he's running.
Yeah.
Just keep those bags of leaves near your compost pile or bin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just add a little every time you add some of that nitrogen-rich green matter
from your
kitchen, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What if I don't have leaves? Paper products are actually great.
Yeah, because I don't always have leaves either.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't have a tree in my yard. I have some neighbors who give me their leaves, but once I run out, I'm shredding cardboard, paper bags.
Yes, I guarantee your neighborhood is full of Amazon cardboard,
right? Lots of it. Yes. Yeah, I even bring them home from work sometimes, you know. Empty some stuff out, bring them home. They either go in the recycling or they go in my compost pile, you know.
And cardboard also super helpful in weed control.
Dig gardening for my veggie beds, and I love having that. Smother those weeds.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's less work for me.
Yep.
Smothers it. Go, you know, breaks down. Add a little organic matter to the soil. Win-win.
Another carbon-rich source around our city is wood chips.
Yep, absolutely.
Sadly, people are cutting down trees all the time, or they're doing responsible limb maintenance and things like that.
Yeah.
There are always chips available, and you can get them through this chip drop organization.
Yeah.
Right, too? Free.
They will bring them to you.
Yeah.
You do have to kind of be ready to wait a minute, because you plug in your address and the different tree companies around the city are like, oh, well, we see that there's an address here. I'm going to be doing a job in this area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they do call you beforehand and be like, do you really want like
a whole truckload
of chips? And you say, yes, I actually do.
Yeah.
And then they look at you strangely, but then they drop them in your yard, and it's lovely.
Yeah,
it's great for mulch, but it's also great absolutely for composting to get that carbon rich.
And then the city's been doing a Mulch Monday thing. Are they still doing that?
Yeah, they are still doing that. It is out by the Northeast Y.
Okay.
Is where you go.
And you bring your own vehicle and
containers. You bring your own vehicle and your own containers, and you can take as much as you can take with you.
That's right.
And there is no judgment if you just fill up the back of your Subaru as is with mulch.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Just line it up with a tarp.
Uh-huh.
Similar thing, the University of Louisville's Community Composting Project, can give a shout out to that wonderful thing that's been going since 2010. It's all run by volunteers every Sunday, noon to 2. You can come to our grounds lot, basically, on East Bloom Street, 250 East Bloom, and help us turn trash into treasure. We're taking organic waste from all around the city and making rich compost out of it and giving it away to people who want to bring their own containers again. And we also have a giant pile of wood chips as well. You're welcome. Welcome to them. This is such an important way to make sure you're building a foundation for success in your garden, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The soil is not just like some neutral growing medium. What we want is a organic, rich, living soil, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always think about soil as the plant's plate of food.
Yeah.
Is how I think about it. Like, we do have the ability to go and move around, right?
Yeah.
To seek out our own food, whether that's in a garden or in a grocery store or at a restaurant. Plants are kind of stuck where you put them.
Yeah.
So we have to think about filling up their plate with tasty things to eat so that then we in turn can get some.
That's awesome. And another important component to successful gardening is water.
Yes.
And there is going to be a session at the How To Fest on how to harvest rainwater.
Nice.
Tell our listeners a little bit about how to do that, why it's important.
Yeah. Do you guys have rain barrels?
I don't, but I'm installing one this year.
Ooh, yes. Okay. It's a game changer.
Game changer.
Yeah. Super easy. It's the best free water you're ever going to get. And we know how expensive water can be here.
Yeah.
But super simple. If you have a drill, you basically are drilling a pipe into one of your downspouts.
Right.
And then hooking it up to a 50-gallon barrel or larger.
Yeah.
You can collect water in any kind of container. And then at that point, right, you just use it as you would anything else for watering plants. This is non-potable water, so I need to throw that out there. You can't drink it, but your plants can drink it. Your pets can drink it.
You can wash things with it.
You can wash things with it, right? It's got lots of great resources, and it is free.
Yeah. The city, I believe, has been doing a rain barrel sale for a while. Is that still going on? Do you know?
I don't know. I've actually been looking, and I haven't seen it advertised this year, but it, they definitely have in the past.
Yeah.
I hope that the, I think it's the Conservation District who's leading the Rain Barrel Workshop will have some information about that. They have also in the past done like pretty inexpensive rain barrels too.
Awesome.
So yes.
Hopefully if you come to the How To Festival on Saturday, May 11th, you can find out where to get your rain barrel.
That's right. It is coming up on the 11th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Maine Public Library, right across the alley from us here at Ford Radio, 301 York Street. It is free and open to the public. You don't have to come for the full 5 hours, but believe me, you're going to want to stay because there's going to be so much going on. You're going to be looking at your watch and go, how do I get to all
There's going to be plant bingo. I just need to tell you this. I learned about it today. There's a session on how to ID invasive plants with a plant bingo game.
Fun.
That's nice.
Yeah. So if you want to hang out with the Urban Ag Coalition afterwards, we're going to have a very competitive game of plant bingo.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Love that concept too.
Me too.
My guests here on Sustainability Now are from the Urban Agriculture Coalition. You can learn more about it at foodinneighborhoods.org/grow. Bethany Pratt and Susanna Diller-Yoke are here. They also work for UK Extension. Now, we haven't talked enough yet about UK Extension's nutrition education program at planeatmove.com.
Plants are everywhere.
I still say it like that too sometimes. It's a little slip.
So what is the nutrition education program? Who does it serve?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all across Kentucky, but for Jefferson Nutrition Education Program, we serve folks in the community with limited resources. You know, what we do is in the name, but we also are expanding and doing a bit more than that, too. We do provide folks with limited resources with education around nutrition, healthy lifestyles, maybe how to make some behavior changes in order to improve nutrition, improve veggie and fruit intake, all those things. Whole grains, you know, we focus on, it's a very holistic approach as well. You know, we encourage improving physical activity, which gardening is a great way to get that naturally and just be able to connect with nature, connecting to the local food system, knowing where your food's coming from. It's really kind of improving food literacy. But then we also really want to just provide support and resources. It's not just the direct ed, which is great, but we're also just really trying to be involved in the community, either supporting our community partners that are addressing food justice, food equity, and access, and also, you know, trying to do some of that ourselves to our capacity, but also being able to help support community gardens and development of community gardens where there might not be, or school gardens as well, because we do work with folks for all the way from preschool to elders in the schools or public housing. We work with folks in community and recovery settings. Community centers. We're kind of all over. But
And you have some grant funding to help support community gardens. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we've been fortunate enough to have some grant funding to be able to so like our county agents or nutrition education staff will partner up with a community partner that would like to start or kind of maybe rejuvenate,
expand
a school or community garden. And we've had some funding to be able, you know, for folks to apply.
Oh, cool.
And then we have been awarded some and we're getting ready to start implementing that.
Nice.
Yeah. So
you want to shout out any of those gardens?
Sacred Earth Community Garden is the one that I am most excited about locally.
Me too. Very excited.
Sacred Earth?
Yes.
Where is that? I don't know. About
it's in the California neighborhood.
Nice.
And it's Velvet
Welch.
Yeah.
Rock star.
It
is a garden specifically for youth in the California neighborhood.
Wow. That have been impacted by gun violence. Yeah. They or their families have been impacted by gun violence.
So it's a therapy space, and everybody who grows there also gets to take food home to their families.
They also share it with the community around them. They're also working, they employ young adults, the youth that work there. They're called YUGs, which are youth urban gardeners. And they employ them to work there. So it gives them a safe space to learn, to heal, but also to develop a lot of life skills and also teach them how to garden and how to self-sustain, and also how to share that with their community and give back. You know, it's very, it's a really, really awesome concept. And she's, yeah, Velvet's just a rock star, wow. like Bethany said. We're big fans, obviously. Yes. And we're excited to be able to, you know, have a small part in being able to support that and get them some funds. So, so yeah, we'll be partnering up to get those funds so that she can buy some of the supplies that she needs for the year, right?
Because
on a larger scale, it can, it, you know, she's a it's a nonprofit, so they need some extra support and donations or funding. And then we'll be partnering as we go and growing that to maybe provide some, pair it up with some nutrition education classes, because then they can take that harvest and maybe get some ideas on how to use that and cook with it and how to use some fresh produce that maybe they've never, you know, they might have tasted it, whatever it was prepared for them, but they might not have the knowledge or the skills to cook it for themselves yet. So, and then they also have a small, she's going to have a new program for some younger kids called the Sprouts. And then like, it's going to be kind of a mentorship between the Yugs. We'll be mentoring the Sprouts to learn to grow and sharing their knowledge that they've gained. So yeah, we're pumped about that.
So you're out in the community talking with people about nutrition. What are some common myths or misunderstandings out there about nutrition? What are some of the things you have to overcome in people's
minds? Maybe kind of an all or nothing, you know, like you have to eat completely healthy in order to be, you know, I always come in, I'm like, this is non-judgmental. I'm just saying, let's talk about like everything in moderation, right? We're just trying to feed ourselves, have a bit more control over our health and what we're consuming. And if you don't know, you don't know. So, you know, it's just, it helps to have a bit of education and resources around that to kind of empower people to take charge of that for themselves. And maybe they haven't had access to it. Maybe they didn't grow up with it, you know. Let's see, what else are some misconceptions?
I just love the concept overall. It's like, make half your plate fruits and vegetables.
Absolutely.
Just, I feel like that's the message that I always leave all of our classes with. It's like, you know, if you're like, man, I didn't do a great job of eating today, or you're getting down on yourself, you're like, really, like, that's kind of the baseline. And if you're there, then you're doing great.
And small steps are always great. It's hard to make changes. So,
But there's so much in the grocery store that it's just opaque. You can't really tell, is this thing going to harm me? Is it healthy? Is it not? I mean, food labeling is a thing, but does it provide enough information for us?
Right. And we do actually have, because we have our assistants that provide the direct ed do have curriculum that that's developed and that they follow to share with our participants. And they'd actually have an entire lesson on nutrition fact labels and how to read them what we're looking for and, you know, just kind of how to navigate that too. And it's particularly, I think, important, which I've heard with direct feedback from some of our assistants that work with immigrants and refugees, because they're coming into a country with our food is so processed and there's so many things that you just don't even know what it is. it's hard to pronounce, you know, so that, that could be a really beneficial lesson, particularly maybe for that demographic.
Absolutely. And I love this idea of growing food, preparing meals is a way to, again, reclaim some of that power over what you're putting into your body, which we know is really so important at the root of our health, but also the health of our community. It's so much unsustainability built into just business as usual eating in America, right?
Absolutely.
And it's so important for us to take these opportunities to learn a little something and continually learn, right? And certainly as you get exposed to new flavors, new ways of preparing food, suddenly you have a greater diversity of options.
Yes, and absolutely.
It's a lot easier than to stay healthy.
Yes, 100%. And we do have, like we've mentioned our talking about having lots of options. We have like over 300 recipes with some like culturally diverse recipes.
30-minute meals, like the whole kind of slow cooker meals, all the things. Mm-hmm. So, and it's also, it's great, like even if you are a seasoned cook, but you get stuck in a rut, that's my go-to spot for like, man, I now have a whole bunch of this, or I, you know, these are like the things I make all the time, but I'm really, I'd like to try something different. What do I do? PlanEatMove.com, and then you can search by ingredient, by like 30-minute meal, kid friendly,
freezer friendly.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, we are in our last 5 minutes here, and I want to spend maybe the last bit of time talking about the How To Festival that's coming up and encouraging folks to go Saturday, May 11th, 10 to 3 at the Louisville Main Public Library on York Street. There'll be the Urban Ag Coalition garden tents outside on the lawn. But we were talking about like learning how to cook and prepare foods, and there will be a few sessions on that, right?
Yes. There will be a bunch of different folks, so local business owners and entrepreneurs, talking about a whole range of cooking related things. Andrea Wells with Well Made,
how
to make nut spreads
and milks.
Yes, super fun workshop, and Andrea's a great teacher. We have Mark Robbins, who's teaching about fresh juices and how to make your own juices at home.
Nice.
And Mark's super creative because he like goes and does like the discount produce and makes these fabulous juices. So like if you're like, man, juices are too high dollar for me, they are not. And Mark will teach you how.
That's awesome.
You know, so like it's there. It's for you.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the two that are coming to the top of mind for me.
There's also going to be a how-to workshop on making hummus and air fry falafel. So yes, you can even sample maybe some of these treats.
There should be samples with all of these.
How-to fest. But what about, let's get back to the growing. What are some of the things people are going to learn about growing or raising animals?
So we have some fun workshops. Terry with the Master Gardeners is a perennial favorite on how to grow the most delicious tomatoes
ever.
So if you are one of those people who is a tomato people, you know who you are.
Tomato sandwiches.
That Terry is the king of tomatoes. So he will be there. Don't worry.
Yeah.
There are folks talking about how to turn your lawn into a yarden. Beargrass Thunder, also our purveyors of the seed bank.
Yes.
Great business, great knowledge base, super fun people.
Totally.
So they will be there. We have other folks talking about selecting plants for pollinators.
Right.
Beekeeping.
Yeah.
Speaking of pollinators.
I hope there'll be an observation hive there.
I hope so, too. Those are my favorite.
Get to see that. And then we talked about there'll be how to sustainably raise rabbits.
Yes.
And container gardening as well. So you don't have to go full hog into growing in the dirt. You could also container garden as well. And now you also make herbal teas, don't you, Susanna? I learned that.
I've dabbled in it a little bit.
You've dabbled in this?
A little bit.
Is there going to be anything about herbs at the How To Festival? Or maybe not.
I don't know about this year. Maybe we'll sign you up next year, Susanna. Okay. I know you're out of town, unfortunately.
I know, for this year. No. And I'll pull in Keisha, our new horticulture tech.
Yes.
She loves to forage and make herbal teas.
Yeah.
And we could team up on that.
That would be fun.
Okay. Growing mushrooms is another thing you can learn about at the How To Festival.
Yeah, I am super excited about that. So just learning more about what it takes. I don't know a whole lot about mushrooms.
I've only done it like from kits,
right?
You know, which are great and easy and very like instant gratification almost. But it'd be great to learn more about that.
And then other good sustainability things, like how to maintain your bicycle. How to identify invasive and poisonous plants, which might
get
into your garden. So how to grow bananas and other tropical plants.
Dr. Edison is amazing. You want to talk about someone who has figured out the sustainability aspect of growing all of those high dollar produce. He has cornered the market.
Yeah.
So very, it'll be fun.
How to identify trees. That's a valuable skill. How to find a water leak. I love it when we get to talk to the plumbers about how to fix stuff yourself.
Yeah. Handy.
How about how to break up with your smartphone? Now, there's a big one.
Dun, dun, dun.
I like it. I keep threatening to go back to just a flip phone. So over it.
How to make mead at home. Ooh, speaking of beekeeping, what do you do with all that honey? We talked about the tomato growing, harvesting water. How to raise backyard fiber. Is that the sheep?
That's the goats, actually.
Oh, the goats.
Yeah, so that is one of... We might have two goat sessions, actually, because have folks who are doing goats for fiber.
Okay.
And I think there might even be a little arts and crafts demo with that, too.
Yes.
In addition to a goat.
Yeah.
So kind of really all of your needs are going to be met there. And then I think she might also be bringing a rabbit because she raises rabbits along with goats for fiber, which is very cool. And I think we have some goats perhaps for goat yoga too.
Oh, goat yoga.
Yeah.
Nice.
Always popular.
Always fun.
It's a crowd pleaser.
And just a reminder, this is totally family friendly. I'm not even listing all this stuff for kids, but there's whole tents just for kids. And there's also a lot of other things that aren't necessarily sustainability related, but all about building community and getting engaged in it with your local experts in different fields. The How-To Fest is such a wonderful event. Thank you to the Urban Ag Coalition for always helping make it so special and exciting and bringing the animals and the plants to give away and all of that. Come on out Saturday, May 11th, 10 a.m. to 3 at the Maine Public Library. It's free. You don't need to register or anything like that, but you can learn all about it at lfpl.org/how-to. And Forward Radio is a proud media sponsor of the event. For the first year, we're delighted to be there and to be raising awareness about it. And we will be live broadcasting from the festival. So tune in on Saturday, the 11th, on your way to or from the festival, or if you can't make it. And thank you to Bethany Pratt and Susanna Diller-Yoke for taking the time today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Join me again. Shout out. People want to learn more, they can go to planeatmove.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right.
And foodinneighborhoods.org/grow is another great one. Get connected with the Urban Ag Coalition. All right. Well, I'll see you guys at the How To Fest.
We'll see you there.
Stay tuned, listeners. Coming up in just a sec, I've got your community action calendar. Yes, even during Derby Week, there's a bunch of things you can do to help get engaged in sustainability here in Louisville. So stay tuned, everybody.
While the sun shines bright on my whole Kentucky home, 'tis summer and the people are gay. And the corn tops rise while the meadows are in bloom. Them birds are making music all the day. Said weep no more, my lady, oh. Sing one song for my whole Kentucky home, for my whole Kentucky home far away. Now the young folks roll on that little cop and flow, all merry, all happy and bright. By and by hard times will come a knocking at the door, my whole Kentucky home, good night. I said, weep no more, my lady, oh, and weep no more today. And we'll sing one song for my whole.
And we are back here on Sustainability Now with me, Justin Mogg. I hope you've got your pencils sharpened, your calendars out. Hope you're having a great Derby week. Well, why not bring something sustainable into that week? Yes, even this week, there is some great stuff going on in our community that you can get engaged with. First of all, Trees Louisville is looking for some volunteers to help this week with their final tree plantings of the season. If you're interested in helping out, you can just email morgan@treeslouisville.org. On Tuesday, April 30th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., You can join for a shift anytime between 9 and 3. You can help out with a student tree planting at Southern High School. They'll be working with high school students to plant trees at Southern High. Volunteers will help Trees of Louisville run stations, such as assisting in mulching, watering, digging holes, and working with the root balls and more. So if you can help out with that, email Morgan at treeslouisville.org. That's Tuesday 9 to 3 at Southern High. And then on Thursday, May 2nd, they'll be planting trees from noon to 2:30 out at Fern Creek High School. And that's the last tree planting of the season. Thursday, May 2nd, noon to 2:30 out at Fern Creek. They're going to be planting 20 trees. Again, email Morgan at treeslouisville.org if you'd like to help out. Also, on Tuesday, April 30th, the Louisville Nature Center is going to be hosting a workshop on cultivating and cooking with fresh herbs. It's from 5:30 to 7 at the Louisville Nature Center. Chef Mary Wheatley, who's also a master gardener and longtime herb grower, will cover the basics on perennial and annual herbs, including thyme, rosemary, chives, edible flowers, basil, cilantro, dill, and more. Join them to explore the best ways to plant, prune, and utilize fresh herbs. A tasting of the mini herbs, along with a few easy-to-prepare recipes, will be included in the workshop. You can learn more and get your tickets now at LouisvilleNatureCenter.org. It's this Tuesday the 30th at 5:30 p.m. Also, coming up on Sunday, and every Sunday at noon, it's Bikes, Cruise, and Brews rolling out of Logan Street Market. You can bike through Louisville with a community partner, Bikes, Cruise, and Brews, a great way to meet new folks. They welcome people of all biking levels and skills and experience, and they do different routes each week. The rollout occurs every Sunday around noon for a stressless cruise with local brewery stops along the way, returning to Logan Street Market around 3 p.m. You can learn more about it at bikescruiseandbrews.com. Now, if on Sunday you want to volunteer and you want to get a little dirty with us, well, come on out every Sunday at noon to 2. We need help at the University of Louisville's Community Composting Project. And every Sunday, noon to 2, we have what we call Compost Church. Come praise the worms with us. Help us turn trash into treasure. It's at the 250 East Bloom Street, one block north of Cardinal Boulevard between Brook and Floyd Streets. Dress to get dirty, but tools will be provided, and you can learn about worm composting, and everyone who comes is welcome to haul back home some rich UofL compost for your own gardening projects in whatever containers or vehicles you bring along. It's a weekly service opportunity, and if you want to learn more about it, you can go to louisville.edu/sustainability. This is the perfect time of year to get yourself some compost in your garden. Get ready to plant into fertile living soil. Speaking of compost and the UofL Community Composting Project, quite a few years ago now, spun off a cooperative business called the Louisville Compost Co-op, and you can join this, the only residential collection service in Louisville that will pick up and compost your food scraps and other organic waste. For just $20 a month, residential members will receive a weekly pickup of a bucket, 5-gallon bucket, and drop off back at your home with a clean bucket. And you'll also get access to the quality compost produced by your own food scraps and the peace of mind that comes with diverting your food waste from a landfill where it would otherwise produce methane, a supercharged greenhouse gas. So not only are you wasting a great resource, but you're contributing to the greatest crisis facing humanity if you're sending your food scraps and other organic waste into the landfill. So with the Louisville Compost Co-op, for only $20 a month, you can divert that entire problem if you don't have the way to compost in your own backyard. You can learn more about how to join the Louisville Compost Co-op at louisvillecompost.com. Also, if you want to try composting in the backyard, well, Metro Louisville has an ongoing compost bin sale. Compost bins and accessories can be purchased from the Waste Management District at wholesale prices on an ongoing basis. Simply use their online order form and then you pick up your item at 600 Merriweather Avenue. Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And the items available include an Earth Machine compost bin for $58, a Wingdinger aerator tool for $21, a kitchen scraps collector for inside in your kitchen for $5, and a rodent screen base for $21 if you want that. There's also a compost educational guide included with all Earth Machines. If you want to buy it separately, it's $5. You can find the order form and full details at louisvilleky.gov/government/public-works. louisvilleky.gov/government/public-works for the Metro Louisville compost bin sale going on. Whenever you want it year round, just fill out the online form and pick it up on Meriwether Avenue. Now, another thing you need to do to be sustainable in this upcoming growing season is some good mulch for your garden paths, for your yard. Rip up that lawn, put down some mulch. And Mulch Mondays are happening every Monday, 1 to 3 p.m. with Metro Louisville in the parking lot directly behind on Whips Mill Road, behind 9200 Whips Mill Road. Louisville Parks and Recreation's Urban Forestry Division has launched this program called Mulch Mondays, and any Jefferson County resident or nonprofit organization can come pick up natural, dye-free mulch at no cost between 1 and 3 p.m. every Monday, including this and next Monday, in the parking lot directly behind 9200 Whips Mill Road. Those interested in picking up free mulch need to bring your own container for transport. Participants will also have to fill out a waiver before receiving your mulch. That's right, friends. Use free mulch at your own risk, please. Also want to remind everybody that Bike Louisville and the Office of Planning are partnering with Alta Planning and Design to develop a bikeway implementation plan for Louisville. The study will set the agenda for bike infrastructure improvements for the near future by prioritizing areas of the existing bike network that would most benefit from quick build projects. They're soliciting public input right now on the existing bike network and where improvements are most needed. So you're encouraged to take the Bikeway Implementation Plan survey to provide your feedback on Louisville's existing bike network and help set priorities for the future. And for more specific recommendations, you can also use the input map to draw and pinpoint problem areas around the city on a map. It's fun. You can participate anytime now through May 8th. So this is getting on towards the end of your chance to have input on Louisville's Bikeway Implementation Plan. Find links to participate at louisvilleky.gov/government/bike-Louisville. louisvilleky.gov/government/bike-Louisville. Now, also, as I reminded you before, there is also a Kentucky statewide rail plan that needs your input as well. We encourage you to take the public survey on this rail plan. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is gathering public opinion on both passenger and freight rail service throughout the Commonwealth. They're going to include feedback gathered in the rail plan, and all comments will be forwarded to the proper facilitator for changes to Amtrak and freight rail companies. The goal of the survey is to gather information within existing rail service areas and provide additional insight for the potential future of rail within the state of Kentucky, particularly here in Louisville. In the survey, you'll have the opportunity to comment on the fact that the Federal Railroad Administration and Amtrak are currently conducting a daily long-distance service study to evaluate the restoration of service to Louisville. And there are two potential new routes that will go through Kentucky, one from Detroit to New Orleans and another from Chicago to Miami. This is so exciting. The fact that rail might finally be returning, passenger rail be coming back to Louisville, Kentucky. If you want to have a voice about that, you need to go to kyrailplan.com. and express your support for the most efficient and sustainable form of intercity travel. And that's all the time we have for today here on Sustainability. And I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope you have a great Derby. I'll be back in your ears again in 1 week's time, my friends. Be well.